We, as Orthodox Christians, are attacked by non-Orthodox Christians who claim that we give too much attention and overemphasize certain Christians called saints. Why do we pray to the saints? Why do we honor them so much? Why do we kiss their icons? Why do we venerate their relics and their objects? This is a very wide and serious subject that could take a long time to address. However, let's discuss some key points and answer some popular questions. The purpose of our spiritual life is the acquisition of holiness, the acquisition of the Holy Spirit, and to be united with God. We know that not all Christians reach this goal. Through the history of the church, there are souls that loved the bridegroom more than anything in life. Their hearts burned to be united with their Lord. Why do we honor the saints? Because Jesus wants us to honor them. Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 13. In the home of Simon the leper, a woman proceeded to pour expensive myrrh on Jesus' head and feet. The disciples got indignant. Why this waste? We could sell these items and give the money to the poor. Jesus told them, "Leave her alone. She's doing a beautiful thing for me. I'll tell you the truth. Whenever and wherever this gospel is preached, throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Jesus honored her tremendously. If Jesus can honor that woman with eternal memory, can we expect him to do any less for his other brothers and sisters, those people who gave up their body parts, eyesight, families, and earthly possessions to follow him to the end, to follow him and carry his cross? They gave their blood to imitate the life of their teacher. Jesus told Peter, "Those that leave fathers, mothers, and children to follow me will receive 100-fold. Jesus will glorify his friends and the people that truly loved him, not only during this life, but after death as well. And he will receive them in his holy chambers. Where? In paradise. So where do the saints go after they fall asleep? John 14:3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be also where I am. You know the way to the place for which I'm going." So where are the saints? They are with Christ. Can they hear us? Can they hear our prayers? Yes, but only because they are always in the Holy Spirit and because they are permitted the great knowledge through the Holy Spirit and the messenger angels. St. John writes in the Revelation 1:9, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, am in Patmos because of the word of God. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard something behind me," and so on. "And in the Spirit, he saw and wrote the entire drama of the book of the Revelation. In the spirit, he was able to see the future, the present, the past, the heavens, the angels, and the throne of God. Why are we so unbelieving? If he could see all that while in the body on earth, why now can't he see us here on earth while in the spirit and next to Jesus? He most certainly can, and he's praying for us. They are our cheerleaders in heaven. They are constantly praying for the church. They do not stop being members of the church that was founded on the day of Pentecost. Hebrews 12:23. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. So the church continues to exist in heaven always. In John 17:20, Jesus prays, "May they also be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." The question asks if Jesus' prayer was heard here. There is no doubt. The Eastern Orthodox Church has stayed united for 2,000 years. The Western Church, after cutting itself from the vine, has turned into thousands of divisions. In the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the Lord will say, "Those that glorify me, I will glorify." And this will agree very beautifully with the New Testament in John 12:22. "I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one." Yes, Lord, you have given them the glory because you loved them and your heart burned for them. But the great deceiver, through a different gospel, is trying to take their glory away. Millions of so-called Christians outside of the church are trying to take the glory away from your loved ones. These people do not know that if they don't recognize your most faithful servants, you will not recognize them. Over 11 million Christians gave their blood for the first 3 centuries during Roman rule. The church fathers recognize the calling to die for Christ as the highest gift of the Holy Spirit. All of the apostles except St. John died by brutal death. They were praying for this because they wanted to be just like their teacher. Andrew was crucified. James was beheaded. John the theologian died in a wondrous way. Philip was crucified. Bartholomew was crucified, then flayed and beheaded. Thomas was pierced with 5 spears. Matthew was burned by fire. James, the son of Alphaeus, was crucified. Thaddeus was crucified. Simon the Zealot was crucified. Matthias was stoned, then beheaded with an axe when dead. Paul was beheaded. Saint Ignatius, the disciple of Saint John, was eaten by lions in Rome. Saint Polycarp, at the age of 86, was asked by the Romans to venerate Caesar. in the center of town with all his spiritual children and fellow Christians present, he announced, "The Lord Jesus has been good to me for 86 years, and I'm not about to turn away from him now." Saint Haralambos was skinned alive at the age of 111 years and was shining like the sun while blessing and praying for his persecutors, who threw their blades down and confessed the God of Haralambos. Saint George was a young and admirable officer of the Roman army. He had a great career ahead of him. He confessed Christ, gave his blood, and Christ in turn gave him a hundredfold. Glory in heaven and on earth, therefore the whole world knows his name. Saint Macarius was slandered. He was accused of getting a girl pregnant. He did not defend himself because he wanted to suffer like his Lord. The woman was having such a great difficulty giving birth to the child, so after days of labor, she confessed that she accused him falsely, and only after that the child was born. The 40 martyrs of Sebastia, close to Russia, began to convert many soldiers in the Roman army. They were left naked to freeze on the lake while the Roman army had fires outside for everyone and anyone who would weaken and change their mind. They all died except one, who was replaced by a Roman guard who saw 40 angels in heaven waiting to crown them. Saint Maximus the Confessor had his tongue cut off for speaking the truth. A couple of centuries ago, Saint John of Monemvasia, Greece, refused to eat meat during a church fast, even while his Turkish master insisted by threatening him with his sword. He chose to be pierced than to let his church and his Lord down. Saint Cosmas de Athollos, a modern prophet and great Christian teacher, drowned in the river by the Turks. In our century, Saint Nectarius, a very humble bishop, who was always slandered and betrayed by his peers, reached great humility and holiness, so much that when he died, his towel was accidentally placed on the other bed next to him, and a person that was a paralytic immediately jumped up praising God. His body was not buried for several days, and heavy perfume like myrrh was filling the air. After 3 years, his body was found intact, and the rose petals and other flowers were unwithered and fresh as day one. His clothes were also shown signs of immense miracles, and also intact after 3 years in the tomb. His spiritual child, Philotheos Zervakos, had just died a few years ago at the age of 96. His prayer was used to calm the sea almost at will. He would bless the clouds and they would stop dead in their tracks. He would prophesy and have hundreds of healings and visions. Orthodoxy is alive. Jesus glorifies his saints. Those that glorify me, I will glorify. I have given them the glory that you have given me. Jesus said, "Who are we to deny them the glory that Jesus wants to give them? Who validates or canonizes the saints? God does. After their death, the gift of healing, visions, appearances continue. They appear to hundreds of people who began to pray to them. This is all done through the Holy Spirit and through Jesus keeping his promise to give them his glory. The saints are the vessels of the Holy Spirit. They were truly renewed. They denied the world and they lost their life to find it. John 17:24. Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of this world. Only the Orthodox Church, whose head is Christ, keeps all the commandments and desires of the Lord. And one of Jesus' prayers to his Father was to glorify his victorious brothers and sisters who chose the narrow and sorrowful path. Why do we pray to the saints and not go straight to Jesus? We can pray straight to God, but the Holy Church was taught very early to ask for the intercessions of Christians who through great tribulation acquired the Holy Spirit and have earned great honor in heaven. We, being the worst of sinners, full of unclean thoughts, and in doing this, that make us enemies of Christ, God hates sin. We ask our saints to be ambassadors for us. They are not mediators because there's only one mediator. So once again, we ask the saints to act as ambassadors to the person of Jesus Christ, and Christ mediates for us to God. The intercessions of the saints is stronger than our simple prayer because it is done by the loved ones of Christ, by his beloved elect saints. And we go to Ephesians 6:19. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Why didn't St. Paul go straight to God, but instead asked others to pray for him? Or are we more holy than St. Paul, the teacher of all the nations? 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. In other words, the apostles are representatives of Christ. Christ taught, strengthened his apostles, and died on the cross. Christ, after his death, had the right to mediate to his Father for us. He did this in the same manner that his apostles were given the right as representatives of Christ to intercede for us to Christ. So this ambassadorship was passed down to the apostles and their representatives, who happened to be the bishops and the presbyters of the church. 2 days ago, our Holy Church was celebrating the memory of the 12 apostles, always being obedient to Christ, and we heard in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, And whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, Matthew 18, verse 17. The apostles were given the right to be ambassadors and the right to forgive sins. Without holy confession, nothing is being loosened on earth, and nothing is being loosened in heaven. If our Christians only understood this, there would be lines outside of the church to be loosened from all the passions that bind us today. As Orthodox Christians, we, and usually do, pray straight to Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And most of our prayers are in that manner. But being that we are constantly falling, we make promises to God that we don't always keep, mainly because we are grieving the Spirit of God and we are re-crucifying our Lord by our passions and evil ways. So we don't always have the boldness to go before God because our robe is not clean. We owe Him so much, and we ask for the prayers and intercessions of saints. But they are happy to pray for us if we are sincere, because of the great love that the saints have for us, we venerate them. We do not worship the saints. We only worship God. We venerate or pay respect or homage to the saints. For this, the Protestants and those who cut themselves away from the church become indignant. They accuse us of being idolaters, and for not knowing, of course, that the Word of God also commands this. They err not knowing the Scriptures, reading but not understanding. To justify their position, they usually refer to the First Commandment and also Acts of the Apostles 10:25, when Cornelius fell at Peter's feet to worship him. Peter told him to get up because he was also a human being like you. They also refer to Revelation 19:10, when St. John falls to worship the angel. At this, I fell to worship him, but he said to me, "Do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you who worships God." It would seem here that St. John made a mistake and the angel of God corrected him, and if he sinned, he was forgiven. But could St. John, at the level of holiness that he had reached, make the same terrible mistake again? St. John was in a state of complete sanctification, seeing God face to face, and worship at the angel's feet at the second time at Revelation 22:8. "And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel that had been shown them to me." And we now ask the non-Orthodox, did St. John sin? And if he did, why was he not punished, since he repeated the same offense twice? Do you know why Moses did not enter the Promised Land? Because at a certain point, God instructed him to hit a certain rock once and get water, because the Israelites were thirsty. But Moses, instead of striking the rock once, he struck it twice. He was punished. John was not punished. Why? Because he did not sin. If John did not sin, then we do not sin by paying homage to our patron saints who are now like angels and full of glory. In Genesis 23:7, Abraham falls down to worship the earth, along in Genesis 33:3. In Exodus 33:10, the Israelites bow down when they see a cloud in front of the tabernacle. In Ruth 2:10, Ruth, a very pious woman, falls down with her face touching the ground and says to Boaz, "Why should you be so concerned about me?" In Joshua 5:13, Joshua sees one of the archangels, the commander of the Lord's army, and throws himself on the ground in worship and says, "I am your servant, sir. What do you want me to do?" And the archangel replies, "Take your sandals off because you are standing on holy ground." And all of these instances will reoccur in 1 Samuel 24:8 and 1 Kings 1:23. My friends, if we only knew the treasure of orthodoxy, the church does nothing that is excessive. The church is perfect and flawless because she is guided by the Holy Spirit. The Orthodox Church is perfect because she is the body of Jesus Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. And watch how beautifully the Lord will defend the church's teaching in venerational, honorary worship of the saints. Revelation 3:9, King James Version. To the Bishop of Philadelphia, "I know thy works, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." Well, it looks that some of the Protestant scholars feel that they know the Bible better than the Lord, because I had to use King James Version here because the word of the Lord worship bothered some of these scholars so much that in the New International Version they changed it to bow down, while they left the word worship in there in the New International Version. When St. John was worshiping the angel, they left in worship. I believe these are serious mistakes, and it has to do with people that understand the scriptures logically and not with the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah. Amen.